Malachi in the Old Testament. And there, God issues a challenge to the people of Israel. Give a tithe. Give a tenth of all that you have. And see if I will not bless you. See if I will not abundantly supply all that you need. Now, this is very similar to that prosperity theology, but I think it's somewhat different. Not saying you're going to get rich, but it says that God will take care of you. Then there's the approach of the testimony. Having people stand up and share how they give and the benefits that they have experienced from giving. And then there's my favorite. And that's the one where you share all the good things that God is doing in the church. And you build up excitement of what all is going on so that people will continue to give to bless those things and perhaps even give more to support even more new causes, new ministries. I'm not preaching on any of those, or at least not trying to preach on any of those today, because I think in preaching stewardship, there are often difficult questions and issues that we have to deal with. And I've experienced one of those this year. About halfway through the year, I had to make a very difficult decision. And that decision was that I would not be able to fulfill my pledge for the year. In fact, I was going to have to stop giving to the pledge this year. And the reason being, my son Paul, got braces, and there was a pretty significant upfront cost on that. And then the monthly payments that we're having to make for those was about two-thirds of what I would give each month to the church. And then in the fall, Bethany's tuition was raised significantly, pretty much doubling what we had been paying the year before. And I have to tell you that not to be able to fulfill my pledge was very difficult for me. And it's a little embarrassing, I think, to even share it now. Difficult to share. Because I've always given. As long as I can remember, I have given to the church and to the Lord. And often, most of the time, I try to give a tenth, a tithe. And there have been some years that Jalen and I were able to get more than a tenth. And then there have been years that we haven't been able to, but we've always been somewhat close to that. And then came this time. And it's really hard for me because I've always given. And I share this with you, not so that you'll feel sorry for me, but I share it because I know other people are going through some of these same things. For me, where I have found comfort is that a few years ago, I heard a pastor that I really respect talking about stewardship. And he quoted from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, where he said, if you have people among you who are not caring for their family, their close relatives, they are deniers of the faith, and they are worse than unbelievers. Basically saying, if you're not caring for your family first, it's a sin. And so the fact that we had to cut down on our giving because of families supporting our family somewhat makes it a little easier, but still it's difficult. And there, when we think about stewardship, there are all kinds of difficult questions. And our scripture lesson this morning talks of some of that. Jesus started off talking about the scribes, these religious leaders. They like to wear long robes. They like to be seen in places of prominence, in the synagogues and at the banquets. They like everybody to recognize who they are and think of them as being very spiritual and holy and great people. But did you catch that one little phrase in there? They devour widows' homes, houses. They're doing all this at the expense of some of the least in society, those who are least able to care for themselves. The scribes are promoting and building themselves up. And then we immediately go to the next story where Jesus is in the temple and he's watching people put money in the treasury. People would come up and they'd throw the money in these big metal things, and they didn't have paper money at that time, so it'd make loud noises. The more you gave, the louder the noise it made. And people were coming in and putting the money in there, and Jesus and others would stay there and watch. And that might be a new stewardship approach we try. But then there was this almost inaudible noise. And Jesus all of a sudden gets real excited. And he calls his disciples up, hey, come. Did you hear that? Did you see that? And the disciples, see what? You know, it was this widow putting in a penny. What's to get excited about on that? And Jesus says, you know, all these other people, they give out of their abundance. They're not giving where it hurts. They got money to spare. But this widow, she gave all that she had. This is the type of people we need to look at and give accolades to, not these scribes, but the widows who trust God to provide for them so that they're able to give all that they have. I came across in my studies a different interpretation of this than I've ever heard before. And it is not so much Jesus praising the woman as an indictment against the religious system. That you have these scribes who are devouring widows' houses, living off of the money these poor widows are having to contribute. Instead of these other people picking up the slack, these poor widows and these people who are poor and don't have a lot, they're the ones carrying a lot of the burden, more of the burden than they should. So it's an interesting take on that story. But then there's a story like what I want to tell you now, of a pastor who would go visit a shut-in. And the shut-in, each week, or each time that he would come to visit, when he would get ready to leave, she'd pull out an envelope, and it would be stuffed with $1 bills. And she would give it to him and say, please take this and give it to the church. And the pastor knew that she really couldn't afford to give that. And one time he tried to give it back, and the widow said, no, pastor, that's the Lord's money. You know that the first fruits belong to the Lord, to the church. You take that and give it to the church. And then that same pastor was with the same widow one time. And she was talking about having this craving for a hamburger. And so the pastor took her out and took her to get a gourmet hamburger. So they were at the restaurant, and it came with fries, and she ate the fries and had them box up the hamburger so she could take it home and enjoy it that night. On the way out of the restaurant, this homeless man approaches them, and I find this very interesting. He went to the widow and asked her to pray for him, not to the pastor. And she laid her hands on him and prayed for the homeless man. And she asked him, when was the last time you ate? And he said, I haven't eaten since yesterday. She immediately pulled out the hamburger and gave it to him. A woman that joyfully gives to God. We see from the story of this widow I just talked about, the widow in Jesus' story, even the story of Naomi and Ruth, who are also in deep poverty, of how they trusted God to provide for them. And they raise up or issues of faith and trust in how to be good stewards. In our church, we are facing some stewardship questions. Since this is stewardship time, it's also the end of the year when we start planning next year's budget. Right now, we're running a pretty significant deficit for this year. And how we do on that, I suspect, will impact how we plan our budget for next year. Our church, as with many churches, if not most churches, have a large portion of our budget goes toward building expenses and salaries. And those are pretty fixed costs, unless you want to start cutting salaries. And if you look at our church and you start saying, well, where can we cut, especially if it comes to salaries, the first place you might look would be Christian Ed. We pay for a Christian Ed coordinator, and to be honest, right now, we don't have a whole lot of kids. We don't have a whole lot of youth. We kind of run in cycles in this. Sometimes we have a good number, and sometimes we don't. And right now, we seem to be kind of at that low cycle. So the easy thing to do might be to cut Christy out. Say, we don't need her. We don't have the kids and the youth. But if we choose that route, that means that volunteers have to take her place. And the whole reason we hired a Christian education coordinator was because we were having great difficulty in finding volunteers. And if we don't have the volunteers, then the Christian ed will fall apart. And we will in essence be saying, we don't really care for children or youth or their parents. They're not welcome here. And I don't know if that's the message we want to send. So that's an issue that we're going to have to face this coming year. And that kind of leads to another issue, which is the giving of our time and talents. We have difficulty often finding volunteers. Right now we're trying to find people that will serve as elders on session, deacons, trustees. More times than not, when we ask someone, they say no. And so we're having a horrible time trying to fill these spots, these essential spots to running the church. Last stewardship question I'll raise today is, we have a lot of people who live on fixed income. And as you probably know, Social Security is not giving any cost of living increase this year. So those on fixed incomes are going to be stuck where they were at. And my guess is expenses aren't going to stay where they were at, but they're going to be raised higher. So there may be people having to make the same decision that I had to make earlier this year. And if that's the case, then we need those who do have the means to be willing to give more. The widow in that story that we read gave her all. Most of us don't give to where it really hurts. We give out of our abundance. We need to be challenged in this. Like I said, stewardship sermons are no fun to preach. So let me close with why we give. And for that, I go to the Hebrews passage, where it talks about Jesus being the high priest, who offered himself as a sacrifice on our behalf. And he is our advocate and our mediator in heaven. He is there on our behalf. And we give because he gave his all for us. We give because God has loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die so that we might have life, real life, the life that is abundant and full of peace and joy. So let me encourage you to very prayerfully consider what your gifts, your pledges will be for next year. I intend on pledging. It won't be as much as it was. I hope to give this year. It will definitely be scaled back. But I do plan to give. I hope you will give what God puts on your heart to give. Let's pray. Lord, help us to put our trust in you, especially when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our time and our talents. Let us not be holding back. But give freedom, trusting you to take care of us and provide for us. For we know that you love us because you gave your Son for us. So as a church, let us be able to continue to do the work that you've called us to do. And let us, we would ask, be able to do even more. Help us to be faithful stewards of your love and your grace. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.